Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Trump turned 72 last week, but he came onto the national scene when he was in his 20s. He took over the family business in 1971, becoming president of what became the Trump Organization. And our next guest says when you listen to Trump's comments now on a range of issues, it's clear his worldview was formed in the 1970s. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hello, Jeremy.
And you say trade is a good example. The president has been speaking out against China, but also Japan.
That's right. You go back and you look at the U.S. trade balance. You know, in the 1950s, we were the world's factory. In the 1960s, the U.S. was still running a trade surplus. It was really only in the 1970s that our trade deficit opened up. That means that we bought more from other countries than countries bought from us. And in the last 40 years or so, it's just bloomed. And Trump, more than other presidents, is fixated on this trade deficit. He thinks it is a sign of American weakness. The way that people talked about the opening of the trade deficit being a sign of American weakness in the 1970s, when we were afraid of other countries sort of stealing our lead. In particular, Japan was coming onto the world stage in the 1970s. And so it's funny there, again, you know, Japan, which has been such a close ally to presidents like Obama, is getting a little bit of a hard time with Trump. He rebuffs them on TPP. He doesn't take their advice on North Korea. And I think that Trump's perspective, both on the trade balance and on Japan, is rooted in this sort of 1970s approach to economics and foreign policy.
Well, and when it comes to economics, he's also been focused a lot on industries in this country, including coal and steel, which kind of hit their peak in the 1970s.
They sure did. I mean, the economy of today and the economy of the future is what I've called about nerds and nurses. It's computer science and it's healthcare. That's the future of the U.S. economy. The past of the U.S. economy is steel, coal, and manufacturing. Trump praises steel workers. He speaks wistfully of coal mining, and he tweets boastfully of any new manufacturing factories. But the number of American coal miners has collapsed in the last few decades.
Right.
The solar industry alone now employs two times as many people as coal. The steel industry has shrunk dependably year after year, decade after decade, since the late 1970s. So once again, in national, in domestic economic policy, we see that he is essentially porting a worldview that was frozen in carbonite in the 1970s.
Well, and we have to talk about crime, too, because that's something he talks a lot about. And that goes back to the 1970s as well, which, by the way, was actually a much more violent time.
A much more violent time. Oh, basically every single measure of crime, burglaries, murders, vehicular theft, all of it was rising in the 1970s and even a little bit into the 1980s, the famous "The Bronx is Burning" announcement from the late 1970s in New York. But crime in the U.S. has been falling for a long time. And yet Trump still talks about waves of crime. American carnage was the phrase in his first inauguration. This problem of the inner cities. I mean, go into, quote, inner cities. In the downtown area of most American metros is not only a nice place to live, it's becoming too expensive for a lot of people. So again, I think the way he talks about sort of America's urban demography and crime statistics is, again, basically a reflection of a 1970s worldview.
So what does this tell you about him, Derek, that he has all of these views that you say were shaped from the 1970s?
Yeah, I think this is a little bit of a skeleton key, both into his psychology and that of his supporters. You know, Trump, you know, walked onto the national stage saying, "Make America great again," an explicitly nostalgic message. But he's selling nostalgia to a demographic that is itself nostalgic. They think America's best times are behind it. I'm talking about working class, white, particular men, especially those that are older, less educated. This was the marrow of the U.S. economy in the 1950s through 1970s.
Right.
And now, in many ways, they see that their lot is declining, and so they've thrown it behind a champion of their nostalgic cause.
I was looking, and I saw that the first time Trump appeared in the New York Times was actually in 1973. That's Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.